Hey, church. Hallelujah. Well, it is definitely a joy to be back home and in the church with you guys. I'll tell you, thank you for everyone that prayed over us, that covered us while we were gone. I know Pastor Tim's been working overtime with all the services, but we definitely had a good time enjoying our growing family. They are something else, I'll tell you that. And the more they grow, the more I grow in love with them. And I hope that is the same for your family. You know, God's working in all of our families the same way, just a different story, a different scope. And it's amazing. I'm with Pastor Randy when I look across and I see through worship what God's doing in our families. I see him working, and it excites my heart. So today we begin a series on praise. And I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you might think, praise? Why? Well, I'm partial to praise. I'm very partial. I used to be a worship leader and on the praise team my entire life. I remember Dad dropping me off in our first worship leader's hands, and he said, here she is, do something with her. She can sing, help her. And that was it. And then these girls, and I think Regina, is still the mother of our worship team. I'm telling you straight up, she will mother you back into shape no matter what your problem is. She mothered me into the person of a singer that I became because she cared enough to care about the gift on my life and to push it to the forefront. And I say thank you for that, Regina. But it is definitely in my heart. And I'm a firm believer that praise is a habit of the believer that is underused in today's church. It's something that we simply do and come to do on Sunday and Sunday alone. And we're fortunate if we're here on Wednesday and we get a couple praise songs in because, you know, that kind of breaks the ice for everybody. But much more is happening when praise is being released from you and I. Just like Pastor Randy was saying during the offering, it is an action. So is praise. It is a habit of the Christian believer. This is not a self-help that if you're praised into who you're going to be better. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about praise and action being released to our Creator for something that He has done in our lives. Here's a couple things that praise does. It breaks the chains of the enemy.
Yes.
It silences his voice.
Yes, it does.
What? Those of you that have those voices that keep talking to you, he's constantly telling you negative thoughts. Guess what? Praise. Put praise in your lips and let it out, and it'll be silenced. He doesn't know what to do when you start praising. He just shuts up. He's like, man, that didn't work.
Yeah.
It confuses him. It's used as a weapon of warfare against the enemy. It brings deliverance to the oppressed. It lifts heaviness off and makes your burden light. Praise, underused. It literally declares and shows others around our trust in God and our Creator, and it brings glory to Him. Praise is something that needs to be developed in the believer's life. And if you don't develop it, it doesn't just show up in fullness. It's something that must be developed. And I'm going to be honest with you. For some that are not as emotional as others, I'm not speaking of myself, it's a bigger challenge because you're not out there. It makes you feel inferior to what people see you acting like. Listen, I'm known for losing my mind. One guest speaker looked at me, and I think he thought I was trying to sing really loud so that I could let him know that I could sing really loud. And he looked at me, and he said, oh, that's really good. I'm like, what? I don't need you to sing. Singing's really good. I'm singing because I need to hear myself singing. I need to praise a little louder because maybe my darkness is a little too dark. Today, I'm singing because I'm praising something greater and bigger and better than I've ever been in my life, and I'm feeling a little low. I think he thought I just needed an attagirl. I didn't need an attagirl. I needed his praise to get a little louder. I needed him to remind me that there was someone right next to me praising a little louder because he had understood the darkness I had been in. He had understood the struggle and where I had come from. He's like, sister, I got you. You're worthy of it all. I want it. I want when these singers up here take their ears out because something's wrong in their ears, I want them to hear me. I want my faith to spur someone else on. And I don't care how I look. I don't care how I sound. I don't care how ridiculous my motions are, whether you think I have rhythm or whether you think I don't. Doesn't matter. God says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And that must mean this off rhythm he gave me that's never on beat is okay. Amen. It's all right. You got to be okay with yourself to have praise upon you. Put on a garment of praise. It's something you can take off and lay down. It's something that you don't wear every single day. I choose to put mine on every day. It changes us. Let's go to Psalms 156. 1 through 6, I'm sorry. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. That's not a pipe. That's a pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You and I don't praise because we want to. You and I don't praise because it's something that comes easy. We praise because God commanded us to. And if he commanded it, there must be something in it for you and I. God doesn't do things for himself. He's all sufficient. Yes, he needs nothing from you. I remember asking my dad one day, Dad, why was I created? I was about 13. Starting to find out the why for the why, trying to go back beyond Genesis, if you know what I mean. Like, why was I really made, Dad? He's like, because God wanted to. I'm like, what do you mean because he wanted to? Yeah, because he needed to be worshipped. He said, nope, God don't need nothing. Oh, because he wanted relationship with me. He said, if you give it to him, he'll take it. But he doesn't have to have your relationship. He is all inclusive. He is the one deal. He needs nothing. All sufficiency, all power. He desires to walk with you if you want to walk with him. Oh, whoa. Praise. Here, let me just talk to you. If you are breathing, everybody take a deep breath. Praise is for you. Every time you exhale, you choose what you exhale, good or bad, praise or griping, praise or complaining. Praise is not just something that we do. Yes, it is something we do, but it's a position that we take. Do you understand that praise declares something? Praise sets something in place. Praise positions you to receive God's promise. Some of you didn't hear that. Praise will position you to receive the promise. What is the promise? For some of you new believers out there, promise is everything God's written in his scripture. If he promised it to someone else, it's promised to you. These are his promises for you in mine's life. And all of it's accepted through Jesus. But when you begin to praise God from the position of I'm here. Look, praise. Praise isn't like this. Let me show you. Praise isn't closed fist. Praise is open fist. Without anger, without doubt, I praise who you are. I worship who you are. What does that mean? Comes from three places. We praise God for who he was. And what he has done, the creation, the earth, the oxygen you breathe, the flowers. I was just on vacation. You can't help but see these flowers that bloom all year long. I'm not talking light pink. I'm not talking a light pastel orange. I'm talking the most vibrant orange I've ever seen in my life. You can't even put it in a crayon. You can't. Why? Because man can't compare to what God made. God made the flower. It wouldn't matter. Have you ever tried to suck a rose, the smell out of a rose? You can't. You can smell it and smell it and smell it and smell it. You will never suck the smell out of a rose. It must die before it stops smelling. I dare you. I dare you to try it. You can't. I've tried. I'm like, I wonder how many times. It's like the wise old owl. How many sniffs does it take to extract from a rose? You can't. Why? Because God made it. But that scratch and sniff sticker, the scratch and sniff perfume that you rub on your body, though it's even made with rose petals, I promise you, it will lose its smell because man tried to make it. It comes from where you've been, but it comes from where you are. Praise comes out of a place that says, God is working on me now. He's transforming me. Thank you, Lord, that you're working and walking with me, and the Holy Spirit, you're not finished with me yet. Why? Because you can remember what he's done. Listen to me. Three places praise comes from. One, what he's done. Two, what he's doing. And three, the place of faith that says, this is what you're going to do. Amen. How do I know what he's going to do? Because his promises tell me what he's going to do. It tells me that he's going to silence the enemy. It tells me that he's going to bring me out of the enemy's grip. It tells me that this temptation that I've been dealing with day after day after day is going to relent and break in my life because the Holy Spirit is present with me. But if I don't use praise, if I don't release it from my mouth, I'll never receive the promise that it's attached to. Never. Let's go to the scripture. I'm going to go here. Wait. There's one other part I wanted to tell you. If you are in the third position and you're praising God for what he's about to do, you have to identify that this doesn't come from this. When you come from the place that says, I praise you, it's an offering that you choose to offer up. It's without the wrath, without the doubt, with an open hand to God saying, I believe that you will. I believe that you can. See, some of us get bad news, and when we get the bad news, we accept the bad news. I'm not saying that it defies bad news, but when you receive bad news, your first response can be, well, praise the Lord. I don't know what God's going to do, but something good's on the horizon. Yeah. But you don't. The second you open up that mail and you receive the letter and it says life looks really grim for you right now and I'm giving you 6 months to live, go prepare your household. The minute you open it up and say, you know, Ashley, things are rough. I got 6 months. I better get my life in order. No. No, you know what? This is what the doctor said, that I got 6 months, but I believe God orders my life. I believe God says the day I breathe my first breath and take my last. And I'm not going out one day shy of when he needs me there. Oh, wait, he doesn't need us there, does he? That's right. God don't make you an angel when you get there, and he don't need you because he needs fellowship. What it means is your time on earth is done. That's what it means. Gonna be real with you. Everyone's got a time. Everyone's got an expiration date. I wish it was written on the end of our foot, but it's not. So we don't know. We got to be ready in any given time. But I'm going to tell you, when I go, I'm going with praise on my lips. When I go, I'm going because I want to go. When I go, I'm going because it's my time to go. And I'm not settling for nothing less. Amen. I'm not going by the route of sickness and disease. I'm not going by the route of an accident because the devil's taking me out. That's not. Why? Because I proclaim the protection of God over my life. That's what it is. And God said that he would give his angels charge over me. Lest I even dash my foot on a stone. Do you believe it? Then praise like you do. Praise when they tell you about the economy and what's going to happen and all the fearful things that are coming. Who cares? Who cares? I'm not concerned about the economy. I'm not concerned about the election. I'm not concerned about what can happen tomorrow, and I'm not packing a pool in my backyard with natural water so I can drink it when our water supply goes bad. That's not why I got an above ground pool. I got an above ground pool because it was on cheap, it was on sale, and I needed relief. I'm not banking on the water in my pool to get me through a hard time because our government's going to taint our water. Stop it. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. You serve a God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And if he can't provide clean drinking water for his people, then you're going to die. Yeah, that's right. And we're all going to die together, and we're all going to go to heaven. And there is a party in heaven. There's not in hell. Come on, shout the victory. We all went the right way. Praise him for the things we have. Praise him for protection and for peace. And by the way, just let me speak to this. If you are not at peace about this upcoming election, please still your hearts. It doesn't matter who our president is. It matters the God that we serve. Just like the children of Israel, this is nothing new to God. Pharaoh was the president, and he was awful to the people. And Moses traipsed in there to the president and said, hey, God said, let his people go. And Pharaoh's like, no, I'm not serving your God, and I'm not letting my people go. Those are my people, and they're working really hard, just like you and I are, and we're all paying taxes. Same thing. They're not letting their people go because the Israelites were there working, making bricks really, really, really cheap. It was slave labor. What does he do? Charlton Heston walks in there second time. For all of you baby boomers, that was for you. For all of you that are under 50, you don't even know who Charlton Heston is. Don't worry about it.
It's all right.
Watch The Real Moses on Netflix. It's fine. It's fine. Charlton Heston marches up there and says, let my people go the second time. No, I don't want to let your people go. It's the same thing. And what does God do? God intervenes for his people and for his children. Who are you? Yes. And God's going to intervene for you. It doesn't mean that he's going to part this. Where do we live? What even river do we have to part for us to march through? That's not the point. The point is he's showing you what he was. And if he was for the children of Israel then he will be for you today. And you don't need to worry about it. Everything in this life, in case no one's told you, is just temporal.
Yeah.
It's all temporal. That car you drive with the gas that you pay way too much money for. By the way, there's a new app. I'm not allowed to say that. Can't say that. I'm not allowed to advertise for people because then they'll take it off YouTube, and I can't do that. There's this new app that gives money back for getting gas. You should really try it. Just go out and Google it. I'm allowed to say that. I'm getting real money back in my checkbook. It's awesome. I know. I don't know how. It's because Ashley told me. You can see her in secret. I'm just not allowed to say the name on it. Point is that God provided then, he's going to provide for you now. And this is where our trust and our hope and our praise comes to Christ. And the second you hear that scary news on television, just begin to do a jig in your living room. Oh, I thank you, Jesus, that you said I'd never lack for nothing in my life. I thank you, Lord, that if you give food to the sparrow, that you will give food to me. I thank you, Lord, that I don't have need of clothing, and I don't have to worry about my bills being paid and my needs being met, because you said you meet all of my needs according to your riches and glory. And if you want to put music to it, now you really got instruments. That's praise. Begin to declare what you want to see happen according to his word. Don't be praying that person dies around you that you don't like. You can't do that. Some of you know, I've told this story, Pastor Ed, he used to pray for the president.
That's right.
But he prayed in the Old Testament that they would die. I said, Brother Ed, God's not hearing that prayer. He said, I know, but it made me feel better, Nicole. God rest his soul. Listen, it means that there's times that you have to lift up praise even when you don't feel like it. Even when you feel that America could be in a hopeless situation, I'm not telling you not to do anything. I'm not telling you not to pray. I'm not telling you not to vote. In fact, I think you should. However, do not be afraid. You serve a God who's much bigger than anything that can happen in an election year. But you might need to get out a little praise. Come on, everybody stand up. Stand up. I'm going to make some of you feel real embarrassed here. It's okay. No one's watching. They're all concerned about themselves. Now you know why I wear shirts that go down over everything so you can't see me when I praise. Come on, lift up your hands. Yeah. They hang down right here, right here. Now, just try to sway back and forth like this. I'm getting your hips involved. There you go. Look. See, this is a participation sport. Yep. Okay. Some of you girls that really know how to dance, don't make us look bad. Don't swing those hips too much. Now, I'll show you this is the old Holy Ghost way. Keep your arms going. Okay. Now, you got to kind of do this. Do this next, okay? And I'm going to show you the Pentecostal way. All right, there you go. Now, you're starting to get out of breath, right? This is normal in a praise service. You should be out of breath. But then the old way used to be like this. Come on. Come on. Now, the new young way is like this. You're at a rave. Woo, woo, woo. Come on. Some of you older ones in the back, I feel you. Come on. Here's the deal. I know that took effort. I know that took work. But when you truly begin to focus on who God was, what He is doing, and what He's going to do in your life, we should be here all night long. Okay, you can sit down. You think that it's just a physical act. There is a spiritual release that happens when a believer lays down the idea of what they look like, lays down the idea of what they sound like. How many of you have ever drank a little alcohol in your prior age? Okay, the majority of you, yeah, before you were saved. All right. And some of you have drank some alcohol since then. Here. Psalms 18:3 says a lot more than this, but the preface of this entire scripture is, He is worthy of praise. We sang worthy of it all tonight. The word worthy means deserving. You are deserving of the praise that we're giving you. The word praise, this is going to kill you right here. This is going to be, well, you know, I can just praise from right here. The first word that is associated with praise is uninhibited. Now, for those of you that haven't drank alcohol, let me give you a mindset. The stronger the drink, the quicker your inhibitions are lowered and the stupider you become. Now, I'm just going to tell you, not that I know this for a fact, but I know that people say you're either loved when you drink or you're hated when you drink. You either become nicer, softer, and kinder, or you become angry, aggravating, and obnoxious. This is why I never chose to drink. I'm sure it would not have been a good outcome. The point is when you praise, it becomes a joyful, exuberant, uninhibited outbreak celebrating the goodness of God. People wonder why I don't want to wear pantyhose and high heels anymore. I'll tell you why. I've been on that stage far too many times, and if you wear any type of dress that has rayon and spandex in it, it's going to bounce. And when you dance, it bounces, if you know what I'm saying. And one time, Ashley's on the mic, and she says, Nicole, quit dancing. Ooh! Because I was so joyful, so exuberant of the life that God had given me, of what God has done in my life, that I couldn't restrain my joy. I couldn't restrain what people thought I looked like or what it sounded like. If you didn't like it and I hit the wrong note, you best turn it down at the soundboard. I'm giving God all I've got. Amen. Some of us come and we only give Him a piece because we want to remain dignified. Dignity needs to be thrown out the door. God didn't look for dignity when He made us. He didn't look for dignity when Jesus lost His life on the cross and became unknown to God, to anyone, because He looked so bad. Jesus' dignity was stripped. Naked on a cross for you and I, and we're fully clothed and we show up to church dignified. Lift up those hands that hang down. Lift up. You ever seen people, they just have this resting face that's... This is the resting place of praise. Right here. You can even put a smile on. It's still a bad resting place. Hey, how are you today? Oh, full of praise. Just loving Jesus. Feel like he's doing so many amazing things in my life. How you doing, Pastor Paul? I'm amazed. I feel amazing because of what God has done. Look at my hands. Look at my life. I'm lifting him up with my voice, with my actions, with my thoughts, with the way I live my life. I'm praising Jesus. Is that not amazing? You are his creation. And whether you like it or not, we just came back when we were in Aruba, we came back and there were these things floating in the water. And something we do is snorkeling when we're there, and the colors are so vibrant. But the ocean dances with what God's doing. It's amazing. You stick your head up out of the water and there's this wind and it's just going crazy. And you put your head under the water and there's these fish that are just going forward and backward, forward and backward. What are they doing? God's controlling everything around them, and they're like, just go with the flow. It's life. No, I'm serious. But you and I are not that. We resist. We resist praise. You want to know what the opposite of the word praise means? Oh, this is going to get you. This is going to get you. And there's a people in the Bible that knew exactly what the opposite was. It means that you slam, blame, or criticize. Let's go to Numbers. Numbers, the 11th chapter. And we've already talked about these people. They were the Israelites. And you know, God did all these amazing things for them. Takes Moses up there, writes out the Ten Commandments, come down, breaks the Ten Commandments because they're worshiping idols, sends them back up there, chisels them out the second time. I can't imagine how hard that was, chiseling out tablets. Like, just honestly, Moses was probably more mad about that and the blisters that he had created than anything else. He splits the Red Sea, delivers them, sends all the plagues to Egypt so Pharaoh will get rid of them and let them go, and then kills and drowns all of their enemies in the water behind them. So now they have no adversary, no one's chasing them, but they've crossed over into a wilderness where they're going to walk into the promised land that God has promised them. Just like you and I. All these promises God's given us, and all we have to do is walk into them and believe them and receive them, and they are ours. Okay? Here's what it says. 11:1. We're going to skip around a little bit because I got a lot of ground to cover and not a lot of time. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Go on down to the 4th verse. The rabble that was with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, that means whining. Yeah. If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt at no cost. But they were slaves. But the food was free. Okay. Yeah, literally. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. I'm sorry, God drops bread from heaven every single day, and you're griping, and you're in the wilderness. They gripe about their food. They're thirsty, so God gives water out of a rock. They're hot, so he puts a cloud over them by day to shade them. Yeah. And then they're too cold at night, so he puts fire to heat them up. I mean, really, have you ever heard it like in Ohio? Oh, it's hot and miserable today. Now it's cold and I gotta wear a jacket. Quit your complaining. You woke up and breathed life today and God gave you breath. Amen. You live in Ohio. It's a bipolar state. It doesn't know what it wants. And that was not meant to come against anyone with bipolar. Go to Numbers 14th chapter. Listen to what God says about it. the 14th chapter, the 27th, but let's go to the 26th verse. It says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron," these are his leaders, "how long will this wicked community grumble against me? How long will they not praise me and gripe and complain about their situation?" That doesn't sound familiar, does it? "I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness, your bodies will fall. Every one of you, 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census and who was grumbled against me, not one of you will enter the land I swore and lifted up, uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. As your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them in to enjoy the land that you have rejected." I'll hold you up. They never said they didn't want it. All they did was complain about the way they got there. Yeah. All they did was complain about what they didn't like about the journey. Yeah. They didn't like their leaders. They didn't like their food. They didn't like that they had to wear the same clothes. Don't mention the fact that your clothes never wore out for 40 years. Right. Now, mind you, I would not want to wear this for 40 years, but if it's all I had, I would wear just this for 40 years. Makes you think about what outfit you would choose. Just saying. "As for your children, your little planner, I will bring them to enjoy what you have rejected. But as for you, your bodies will fall in this wilderness. Your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness until the last of your bodies die in the wilderness." Wow, that was harsh. But what was happening was God was telling them, "I've shown my display to you of what I've done. I didn't only free you from Pharaoh. I didn't only bring you out. I haven't only just fed you, watered you, clothed you, ministered to you, gave you leaders who will listen and pay the price to do what they need to do so that you can be affected when all you do is complain. I'm telling you that you and I could use a little praise in our situation. Amen. And no matter what the situation is, no matter what information you hear, that if you would get on your praise and put away your complaining tongue. Complaining was rejection. See, they rejected the change that God was doing. He didn't want to do it the way they wanted him to do it. And if they would have began to praise, they would have praised their way right into that promised land. Amen. And never looked back. Never would have died, by the way, where they confessed their bodies would die when they complained. "You've brought us out here to die." Oh, you were praising, all right. You just praising the wrong one. And God gave you exactly what your mouth said you would get. Amen. You can praise your way. See, praise doesn't change God's response to you. Praise changes your perception of God. David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Get a magnifying glass.
That's right.
Look at the problem through God's eyes. See, the people of Israel were only viewing their problem through natural, carnal eyes. But if they had begun to praise the Lord and magnify Him, their perception in their problem would have changed to praise. They would have literally walked in and possessed everything that God said for them. I guarantee you right now, if I took the last 2 minutes and 6 seconds of the message and asked you to stand and praise, you would be challenged to find words to fill 2 minutes and 6 seconds. I heard that, Nancy. I heard that all the way back there. You're right. You want to know why? Because if I put a treadmill here and I ask you to run on it for 2 minutes as fast as you could, the first time you got on that treadmill, you'd be exhausted. Randy and I know, last night we had to run a gate, 25 minutes. By the way, next year, we're leaving on Friday.
That's what I said.
What did you say?
That's what I said.
This
from
year,
now on.
What did I say last year?
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. That's memory that he wants to choose or don't want to choose.
Man brain.
There it is. I like it. Man brain. No intentional men to the band. My point is that when you begin to magnify God in your situation, you begin to see him in a greater form. Listen, we ran as fast as we could last night. Our kids were sitting at the gate waiting on us. And here's Randy and I, excuse me, pardon me. And I'm thinking I'm going to die on this conveyor belt. And I'm running on the thing that's moving. Like I'm running as fast as I can. I'm just passing people up. And I think I'm doing really great. And I get there and I'm sitting there. And it took me, I promise you, 10 minutes for my heart rate to come down. And I thought, I am too old for this. I cannot run. But let me tell you something. You want to know why? Because I wasn't conditioned for airport running. I'm sure there's a sport. You can do it. And it's probably more time now than ever to make your flight because of the things that are happening in the airlines. But I was not conditioned. Praise takes conditioning.
Sure does.
Praise takes a habitual form that says, in spite of how I feel, in spite of the fact that I sound utterly stupid because I don't have anything in my vocabulary to express who he is, I'm gonna say it anyways. I'm gonna do it anyways. I'm gonna lift my hands anyways. I didn't wear none of my jewelry and the girls behind me are looking at my hands. Who cares? Who cares? Don't wear anything on your body that encumbers you that you can't praise God. In your morning outfit, you should be practicing your praise and making sure that everything stays covered while you praise. That's for all the ladies out there. And for you men, if you need to lift up your hands to hang down, you might need an extra long shirt. So that when you lift it up, we don't have to see all this.
David prayed.
We're not going to talk about that this week. We're going to talk about that another week. It's joyful. It's boisterous. And he's worth it. Stand to your feet. I've danced off a gem off my clothes. Nope, that's not mine. That's one of the praise team. That's a good sign. When there's jewels up here, that's a good sign that someone took praise on purpose. Church, I know it sounds kindergarten. I know it sounds so simple and so childish that we would throw ourselves out without inhibition to a God. And that doesn't even care. Yeah. You know, I always looked at it like this. There's not a scripture for this. I'm just going to tell you, this is Nicole's interpretation. I'm like on a desert island, and I'm stranded without him. There's no boat coming by. There's no water. There's no food. All I got is my love for him. And I'm on this island, and it's just me, and it's hot. And it's nasty, and I think I might take my last breath. But I'm gonna get his attention on my way out. You're gonna see me lose my mind in worship and praise, and I'm going all in. I'm not afraid. And if Jim and his wife, they don't like what they see behind, then the ushers cover it up. Because I'm gonna give him all I got. I'm not holding anything back. David must have known something. He said, oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. Let praise continually be on your lips. Continually, day and night, morning and evening. Even though I used to watch Forensic Files before bed, by the way, they need some new ones because I can't watch them anymore. I know them all. I always used to shut it off and I would just say, Lord, fill my thoughts with you, that I would wake up with praise on my lips in the morning. I put my feet on the ground and I don't go, ugh. I say, God, thank you that I lived another day to do your work. Be happy. Be thankful. Extol him. Worship him. Adore him. For he deserves your praise.
Amen.
The first line of worthy of it all. Ashley, do you remember what it is?
I'm going to sing till my heart starts changing.
I'm going to sing till my heart starts changing.
What?
What? I can sing and something happens supernaturally inside of me? Yes! Jim, I'm going to use you an example, but I remember the first day I heard you singing. And I went home and I told Randy, I said, Jim sang about Jesus today. And he said, he did? I said, he did. You want to know why? Because people look at Jim and they see this big guy and they're like, yeah, he's a Jim. And then he just starts singing.
Yeah, amen.
And you know what happened when Jim started singing? His heart started changing.
Yes.
I'm going to sing.
Yes.
Till my heart starts changing, I'm gonna worship till I mean every word.
Yes.
Come on. Why? He deserves it.
Yes,
he does. Church, begin to build your habit. Because I'm telling you, at the end of this 4 weeks, we're gonna praise.
Yeah.
And you best come with some shoes you can praise in. You best come with some shoes you can kick off. You best come if you're wearing pantyhose with those control tops because they roll. Just like, don't wear no knee highs. They'll be down to your ankles. Some of you might need to go get some new undergarments. Make them tight. We want to be known in our community, but not for that. Every hand lifted. Father, we just come before you today. And God, we just ask you to begin to develop us. Begin to teach us. Begin to reveal yourself to us in a greater way. Give us words to describe you. Give us a desire to read your word that would expose who you are, that we could praise you for what you're doing and what you're about to do. God, we're grateful to be your church. We're grateful to be a part of what you're doing in this time, and we're so glad that you chose us. Equip us and make us the best Jesus the world has ever seen. Change our perspective of what we're going through. Make it light, momentary, and for a moment, because nothing stands against eternity with you. You know, church, David invited us to magnify the Lord with him. But I'm inviting you as the pastor to accept him as your personal Savior. Is there someone in this house today that says, maybe my life hasn't been a magnifying glass to Jesus? In fact, I've probably not made him look that good. But I want to be invited and I want to accept that invitation today. This is your time. This is your time to become a part of the children of God. This is your part where he gets to save you and rescue you from a life without him. Is there anyone in the house today under the sound of my voice that would say, I want to accept the invitation. I want to lift up a praise and say, thank you, God. Anyone in this house? All the way in the back. I'm doing my best to see you. Is there anyone? Yes. Come forward. Praise the Lord. One that says, I will. Brother, I saw this. I saw this in the service. You were down here.
I've been waiting for this day for 3 months. I keep missing the first. I'm here finally.
You've been waiting.
Yes, I was in Alabama 2 months ago. I was in Tennessee last month. I'm ready to do my next steps. I want to be a part of this place.
Woo! I saw you today and I saw you reading the word.
I'm here on Wednesday. I'm here on Sunday and I've been praising every day.
Well,
I love
I'm
your
proud of
praise
you.
Cars. I'm doing the best I can. I'm approaching 10 months of sobriety. I've had a whole lot of change in my life. I lost my children, which is something insane. I'm a stay-home dad, and I wasn't allowed to see my own children from all the trouble and stuff I was getting myself into. Mm-hmm. And I was saved a long time ago, but war kind of changed me when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting in Iraq and getting bombed and shot at and hoping everybody does a good job because I'm not allowed to shoot back. I'm a helicopter mechanic.
Thank you.
So I had to hide in a hole. And I lost my faith a little bit, and it has came back in full effect. And I started picking up... I had a goal of reading 30 books this year, but I did it in like 6 months. So I was like, I'm going to read the Bible, and I'm about halfway through now. It's taking me about 2 months to get there, but underlining and circling and trying to memorize and listening to my Proverbs. My name is Corey. Corey, come.
Corey, we're going to pray.
Yes, ma'am.
You repeat after me. Say, Father.
Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
Restore my life.
Restore my life.
Everything the devil has taken.
Everything that the devil has taken.
Give it back.
Give it back.
I denounce you, devil.
I denounce you, devil.
I won't serve you any longer.
I will not serve you any longer.
I believe in Jesus.
I believe in Jesus.
I believe he died and rose again.
I believe that he died and rose again.
Just for me.
Just for me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to the family.
This is another example of someone being changed.
Woo!
Amen. We love you, Corey. Good job. Praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
Yes. All right. Now, I want to see him in Next Steps today.
Yeah, Next
Steps. Can you say Corey after church today? All right. Then we'll be in Next Steps.
Yes, Next Steps. You know, I'm going to start a series Wednesday night.
Yes.
We have small groups that are starting Wednesday night.
Yes.
I'm going to start a series on truly connecting with God. How to connect with God. Obviously, praise is one amazing way to connect with God. So if you're not in small groups, make sure you come out. We're going to start that series because we really need to connect with God, especially
Correct.
In these last days.
And,
Amen.
And we have Tiff Shuttlesworth with us next Sunday.
Yes, the 8th. Man, you don't want to miss Tiff Shuttlesworth. He's never been here before. But like I said on a Facebook post, you're going to have to eat your Wheaties for your brain because he is amazing, amazing when it comes to the end times, Revelation, things that are happening. We brought him here on purpose because of the election that's coming up. Mm-hmm. So make sure you bring a friend out next Sunday for Tiff Shuttlesworth. You're not going to want to miss the revelation that he has.
That's right. Church, we love you. We're going to pray for you, and you're going to go out and be blessed. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, that you are doing something in the families here at Only Believe, Father, that you are empowering them, God, that they are on mission when they leave this place today, that every footstep they take is ordered by you, God, that you would order their steps, bring people into the kingdom, grow your church daily, Father, so that we might take as many with us as we can, Father, before your return. Bless them and keep them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you. We'll see you. Have a great week.